This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com, your entertainment destination. Casino, poker, dining, and simulcast racing so you can wager on some of the best tracks in the country. Go to HialeahParkCasino.com to sign up for promotions, giveaways, and events.
Yes, sir.
Cowboys DC Dan Quinn informed interested teams that he's staying in Dallas.
Wow.
He's a top candidate for the Cardinals head coaching job and was also interviewed for the Colts and Broncos, but said his heart is in Dallas and he wants to win a Super Bowl there.
Does he know they have Dak Prescott?
Apparently, maybe they're making moves.
Okay.
I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
No, because I'm thinking more about this, and I get the whole philosophy of new offensive coordinator or new head coach. You want to keep the defense the same. Do you think also, though, it was kind of a test for McDaniel from the front office to see if he could get along because of what happened? And again, this is just me being because of what happened with Brian Flores when, you know, as you've said before, you know, he said he wasn't going to be the Belichick, like Belichick, and then you saw it change.
Right.
So that, you know, they keep the defense the same. Story,
by the way, McDaniel, what he's talking about, just let me enlighten folks. One of the things that I've told you guys over and over again that you won't hear from any other reporter in the country is when they sat down with Flores, they asked him, "You're not going to be Bill Belichick, right?" And he said, "No, I'm going to be my own man." And he became Bill Belichick like all the other idiots, and that's why he's out. And so that's why he mentions that, because I've mentioned that a couple of times, that that's what happened behind the scenes. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you think, though, that this might have been just so that maybe Greer or the front office could get a handle to see if McDaniel was able to legitimately be able to make something work or just try to?
No. You know why? What did he sign, a 4 or 5 year contract? It's guaranteed. You just can't give away. You can't tell the owner, "Well, we're going to test him out for a year, but we're going to give him a 5 year guaranteed deal. If we don't like him, we'll cut him. But you're all right paying him for 4 more years, right, owner?" Nah, not going to happen.
Okay. No, I was just wondering because
I think they went polar opposite. They already saw the personality, and they saw a guy that's not really who he is anyways. He's not Mr. Contradiction, Mr. Confrontation, Mr. Question everything. No, he's more of a deliberate, intelligent, patient person. You know what I mean? And so they kind of went with a guy that I think kind of fits more what Chris Greer is.
Okay, I was just wondering because it's just.
I think they measured that part of it this time around, and they're like, "Okay, we can't bring in another asshole. Like, we got to make sure we bring in a guy that's willing to work with us," because they he probably made them take. I'll go with the tight end from Boston College. He probably made them take that guy, because he wasn't playing Gesicki either. Because it didn't fit what he wanted to do either. So he didn't play Gesicki nearly as much. I don't know. Maybe Noah was his guy. I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. Kader Kohu's Josh Boyer's guy.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? And so maybe they had clashes with him and they're like, "We're not doing this anymore." You know what I mean? We're not gonna have a head coach that's gonna be fighting with Marvin Allen and Reggie McKenzie and Chris Greer on what kind of talent they should bring in. And they were fighting with him with Jordan Love. He wanted Jordan Love. God. He wanted Jordan Love over Tua. And that's why he treated Tua the way he treated him. And to me, when they went with McDaniel, we gotta have a guy that knows offense, but we can't have a guy that's constantly busting our balls. By the way, Joe Philbin did the same thing. And I've told this story over and over again. Joe Philbin would walk into the front office to the general manager, and, "I can't coach that guy." Every week he was there telling them he can't coach this guy and that guy. And it got to the point that the personnel department told him, "Joe, you gotta coach people. You got to deal with different characters." And that was Joe Philbin's problem, that he didn't have, by the way, he got fired. He didn't have the people skills that you needed in order to communicate with human beings and different human beings and different characters. You're going to have a guy that's mellow. You're going to have a guy that's wound too tight. You're going to have a guy that tries too hard. You're going to have a guy that tries a little too little, you know? And you got to know how to balance all of this. You're going to have a guy that is as country grown as it is. You're going to have another guy that is as intellectual as it is. You're going to have another guy that is as religious as it gets. And you're going to have another guy that is dumb as bricks. It's different kinds of people that you deal with in a locker room. And whether you're a CEO, whether you're a head coach, whatever it is. And so to me, I think they went for the guy that wasn't going to, that was going to work with them instead of work against them. I mean, think about it. The three guys hire you. By year two, you're backstabbing the people that hire you because you want to take over personnel department also. You can't work with people that are constantly trying to backstab you. And look what he did to Belichick.
I was saying, and he threw a head coach.
And he threw Belichick right under the bus by exposing his texts. Like, really, dude? What an asshole you are. Like, the guy that helped you? You know what I mean? Like, people help you. How do you backstab people that help you? I know because it's happened to me. I've helped people in their lives. And then they've come back to, like, show me, like, whoa. Really? Oh, okay. You know? It's funny. I read a story today from the world's oldest person, Brañas Moreira, and I saved it. I know sometimes I don't always talk sports here. I'm sorry. I kind of talk about life and crypto and all kinds of different things and music, and sometimes it'll be a little politics, whatever. I don't care. But oldest living person. Okay, and it's so good that you brought all of this up. You know,
little did I know. I got one other thing too. After that, okay. I'm here.
So Maria Brañas Moreira was born in San Francisco on March 4th of 1907. Okay, 7 years before the start of World War I. She will, in over a month, be 116 years old. Her parents decided to return to Spain in 1915 to settle in Cantalonia. But her father died from pulmonary tuberculosis towards the end of his voyage. Miss Moreira, whose Twitter biography says she is very old but not an idiot, has lived in the region ever since. She has 3 children, 11 grandchildren, and 13 great-grandchildren. In 2020, she fought off COVID with a few days, becoming infected a few weeks after celebrating her 113th birthday. Okay? Miss Moreira has lived in the same nursing home for the last 22 years. She's in good health and continues to be surprised and grateful for the attention this anniversary has generated, the home said in a statement. To celebrate this special event, we will have a special small celebration behind closed doors in the residency in the coming days. And so, here you go. With the help of her daughter, Ms. Moreira shares advice on Twitter, attributing her longevity to order, tranquility, good connection with family and friends, contact with nature, emotional stabilities, no worries, no regrets, lots of positivity, and stay away from toxic people. And by the way, I am wholeheartedly behind that. Because that, in fact, that's how I carry my life at times, because I've run into people that are toxic. Okay? Family members, maybe friends. They were friends, acquaintances, whatever. And you know what I do? Cut you off. Done. Don't deal with you. Don't have to. As Bob Seger would say, I turn the page. I don't have time to work through all of this. I'm not going to be on this planet for a long time. I don't need that aggravation and frustrations. You know, it's kind of like towards the end of my QAM run, I was dying to get the hell out because I knew this was the future. I was seeing it. I was watching it develop. And I said, I can do this. I don't want to be here. And, you know, and the day that, you know, They gave me the news. Was the day that I just felt I just got rid of toxicity. Right? Is that how it's said? So I got all that toxic crap out of my life. I don't work in radio anymore. I have no intentions on working in radio anymore. And to me, that is some of the best advice in the world. I don't care if they're your family member. I don't care if they're a friend of yours. I don't care if they're your best friend. I don't care if they're your boss, your associate, whatever it is. Once you find out someone is toxic, okay, you got to cut them off, because life is too short to have to deal with that shit. Okay? We should all be here to support each other and, you know, have some fun and all that kind of stuff. But if you have somebody that is, you know, going against you, trying to take your job, you know, doesn't think highly of you or whatever, and especially, my God, and that's happened to me, people that you've actually helped along the way, people that have had, you know, some success in their lives because you helped them get to that point, and then they shit on you? Yeah, no, that's the kind of stuff that you got to get rid of. People like Brian Flores, if you're the Miami Dolphins. He was too toxic in that building. Mike McDaniel is not toxic, and that's the difference there. You got to get the toxic out. Brian Flores was toxic. All right, what's the next thing you got?
All right, well, this one just came across, and I'm not a big soccer guy, but Claudio Reyna,
yes,
has resigned as sporting
director
of Austin FC.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he'll stay on as a...
Okay, is the actor taking over?
No, I don't know what's going on. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on because U.S. men's national team, they lost to Serbia.
What's the name of the actor? All right, all right, all right.
Matthew McConaughey.
That's it. Mr. Drive My Ass Crazy with the Lincoln commercial. Because those Lincoln commercials were just a little too much. But go ahead.
All right. So since they lost to Serbia yesterday, actually, I think they lost last night or yesterday, Ernie Stewart left U.S. soccer. Claudio Reyna has resigned from Austin FC. And then, of course, Berhalter still on exile. So everybody's saying he's positioning to take over as US. Sporting director of USMNT.
Yeah.
So that just came across. But what I wanted to ask you is this.
Okay.
With Dan Quinn saying, okay, I'm going back to Dallas.
By the way, Mike says, my wife is toxic. Well, you better dump her. All right, go ahead, man.
Go ahead. Run.
Yeah, run the other way.
All right, so Dan Quinn says, I'm going back to Dallas because Colt's job was taken by Frank Wright.
Right.
D'Amico Ryans is now the favorite for Broncos. If it's not Sean Payton or whatever, you know. So that left one job. Or at least one job that was interested in him.
Right, Houston.
No, the Cardinals.
Oh, no, the Cardinals. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
The Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you don't hear anybody saying anything crazy about trying to head to the Cardinals, right?
Yeah,
I mean, right now, that's not.
No, I don't think he's going there. Plus, he has to deal with the Bidwells.
Well, no, but I mean, he already said, I'm going back to Dallas rather than, you know, because that would be the only job that technically he would be in the running. I mean, at least going by what the text.
Nobody
the
wants
tweet
that.
Said.
Nobody. Plus, he's with Jerry that spends.
Yeah.
The Bidwells
don't.
Well, I was
going to question, how bad is that Arizona Cardinals?
The Bidwells have never created a great atmosphere. And then you have a petulant child at quarterback doesn't even work hard, actually. I mean, dude, they put that clause in the contract because they had to put the clause in the contract. If you're a fat guy, they put the fat clause in your contract. Yeah. If you're a idiot that gets in trouble all the time, they're going to put a conduct clause in your contract. And if you're lazy and you don't study, they put a study clause in your contract.
And coaches talk, so other coaches know what's going on. It's not like somebody's going into that position being like, oh, I got Kyler Murray.
Nobody wants that position, bro. I mean, aren't they even talking about trading the receiver? DeAndre Hopkins, D-Hop. So D-Hop's not going to want to stay there either. Because he's going to want to go somewhere, and he's like, man, I'm screwed, you know? Bring Kingsbury back. by the way, Kingsbury and his model or IG, whatever she is, I don't know. They were in Europe or whatever. She was tweeting
Philippines,
out,
right?
Philippines.
Or no, Thailand.
Right. She was like, she was tweeting out pics of her in her bathing suit. And
so who takes the Cardinals job? Just somebody that's
A young guy?
A young guy or somebody from college?
An up-and-coming coach will take it now.
Man, that's going to be very interesting.
Because there's only 32 of them, so somebody will take it. Somebody will take it and try to turn Kyler around, and if they do, they become God. And if they don't, we'll all understand, but you'll lose a job and you'll have a lot of guaranteed
money.
It's going
to be that fan base is Mike McDaniel signing, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, you want all the big, sexy guys. You're end up with somebody that you didn't expect. Or,
and it's a
you know
shame because they have a decent team. They actually have a decent team. Man, if you don't have that quarterback, as you all know, it's hard, dude. It's really, really hard. Did you send Albright the... Okay, all right, just in case. All right, no, just in case. I just want to make sure he doesn't have to check in yet. We are going to have Benjamin Albright, KOA insider. By the way, Omar Kelly had to be moved to tomorrow. He had a meeting, so he had a conflict, and so we're moving him to tomorrow. So he'll be on with us tomorrow. So if you're waiting for Omar Kelly... Tomorrow. Fun to watch that era and that offense. Really grainy video, though. I actually just subscribed to Woodstock 15 and have watched some old games, 84 to 95. Guy has a cool catalog of Finns games with radio broadcast. There you go. Nice job. Let's see what else we have here. Big O, you spoke about the fireworks this week for the Inter-Miami games. Well, there's an article of Inter-Miami promoting fireworks when Millonarios played a friendly there. Yeah, dude, there's a difference, Frankie. Their fireworks are going, there's a permit for that. There's an area that you do it in, not in the stands, Frankie. What the hell's wrong with you, bro? What are you, drunk off your ass watching this show? I mean, what the idiots did in the stands, there's no defending that. There's fireworks in all kinds. Marlins games had fireworks all the time. You do know you got to get a permit for that, right? You do know that that's got to be done, like, professionally. Make sure that...
Usually hire a pyrotechnic company.
Yeah, you hire a company. You hire professionals that do that kind of stuff, dude.
Just don't have three guys pull out some Roman candles and start firing them off.
Brother, you're in an airport. There's an airport. There's planes flying above, and they're like Cessnas and stuff, and you're like firing off, no. This shit's got to be done the right way, Frankie. What do you think this is, dude? Like, carajo.
And Inter-Miami said nothing to them. Look. I'm sure they got something said to them.
Oh, they kicked them out. You were
talking about... Well, they kicked them out, but I'm saying...
They kicked them out. I would have banned their asses for life.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, you could have injured somebody, dude. You're not a professional. You're a drunken idiot with a Roman candle in your hand.
Should have whipped out some sparklers.
Yeah. Come on, man. Oh, God. Just like Belle Biv DeVoe says, never trust a big butt and a smile. All right. And let's see, what else do we have? Yeah, Mike, I'm 3 years older than you, so I was 8 in the last Super Bowl appearance. Oh, so you're my age, Brian. It's exactly what I was. Are you going to see Clutch live? Yes, I am, Tommy. I'm going to the Clutch concert. Yes. Love Clutch. So I will definitely be going to the Clutch concert. When is that Clutch? I don't even know the date now, but I do want to go. I do want to go. All right, Clutch. Big O, what do you think about Steve Wilks as DC? I want Fangio. And if not, if nobody talks about Lovie Smith, man. I would go get Lovie Smith.
We got an update on Tua.
Oh, you're talking about the other Super Bowl, Brian. Not the one that they won. Okay. I'm a little older. All right. What did you got? What do you got there?
Tua's parents have spoken.
Oh, really? Oh,
they say their son will not be retiring early.
Yeah, I saw that.
He comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so stupid. It's just all these people. It's like, get over it already. I mean, I told you a couple weeks ago already. The plan was Tua coming back. We told you before anyone else on the planet that the Dolphins are bringing Tua back and there's a plan in place and he's a quarterback. And that's it. It's over. And, ESPN got and all that. And I get it. We don't have the power of of those kind of platforms and all that kind of stuff, and that's fine. I don't care. The people that tune in here, they're the ones that get more of the insight on the Dolphins than anywhere else. So that's all I give a shit about. What's that? What venue? It's in Orlando. The House of Blues, I believe, is where they're playing. The Orlando House of Blues. That's usually where they go. They never come to South Florida. All right, it is time. Benjamin Albright is ready to go. Let's bring him aboard. Benjamin Albright, KOA, Colorado Insider, Broncos. It says Broncos Insider on his Twitter feed, but he's really a Broncos and an NFL insider. Ben, you're kind of cheating yourself here. You're really a Broncos and an NFL insider. You break a lot of national stuff, not just Broncos stuff, man. Yeah, we got to change that headline on your Twitter page, bro.
Yeah, well, I only have an office inside one NFL team's headquarters, so I guess that's why I did that. I got literally inside the Denver Broncos, but I actually hate that title, believe it or not. I always hated that insider title that made me put that on there. But yeah, I try to do the national thing a little bit as best I can. I apologize for being a little late. My phone battery was running dead. I had to go buy a charging cable.
It's all good. Listen, we're in a town where we have a lot of people that are of Cuban descent like myself, and that is natural for us to be late to everything. So you were just honoring us is what you were doing.
Honoring the Cuban heritage, really.
That's it. And we love you for that. So thank you very much. By the way, you broke a story, national story, that Sean Payton isn't having the smooth trip that a lot of us thought he might have to find a job. And we're watching all these dominoes fall and he's running out of options. So walk us through the hurdles that have been an issue for teams, owners, and Sean Payton, I guess.
Well, I think first and foremost, the obvious. The obvious is the cost in terms of trade compensation, draft picks that would go back to New Orleans. They want somewhere between the 16th and the 12th pick on the draft value chart in terms of a points compensation. For the Broncos, that would be with the first that they have from the Niners. That would be pick number 28 and then probably 2 third rounders and probably another pick. If you're Carolina, you're paying a little bit of a tax there. And obviously Carolina hired Frank Reich, but they would have had to pay a little bit of a tax there because of in division. Indy didn't request an interview. Houston Texans weren't interested. The only team that really has any interest is maybe Arizona, and whom he's interviewing with now. I mean, the Denver Broncos, he was never their number one guy. He was never the number one guy for anybody in all this. So first and foremost, the draft compensation. Second, the salary demand, because you're probably talking about $25 million per year there, which is an astronomical number. And then you start to delve into other things. He wants total control of an organization, so whatever general manager's there is getting fired. And then you start delving into the other things. Why did he only win one Super Bowl with Drew Brees? You know, I mean, you had a top 10 all-time, top five all-time quarterback. You won one Super Bowl. You had five 500 or losing seasons with that guy. You had seven seasons in which you put up fewer points than Steve Sarkisian did when he was the OC for the Atlanta Falcons out there in 2018. Your acumen is an offensive wonderkind, but what did you ever do? I mean, to be honest with you, when he got suspended for Bounty Gate, they scored, 460 some odd points that year. He comes back the next year and they score like 414 points. And that was with Joe Vitt and Aaron Cromer on the show. So, you know, I think the legend of Sean Payton actually outproduces the production of Sean Payton, and people start to get into this and look at this and like, well, wait a minute, what am I paying all this for? What am I getting out of this? And then you come in and you're arrogant in your interviews and you kind of blow the interview process and rub people the wrong way. And then you've got all your buddies out there leaking all this info on TV, and it's always drama. It just wasn't worth it for these teams. And Sean Payton will get a job eventually if he wants one. But as it sits right now, I think he's out this cycle. I think he's going back to Fox. Unless Arizona pulls the trigger, he doesn't have a market.
Okay, wow, the thing is, the Bidwells are going to be willing to pay the money, the salary for him, because apparently he wants – somebody said 20 to 25 million if he wants that. Bidwells haven't been known to spend, you know what I'm saying? So they're going to give up draft compensation, control, and the money because they're not known to spend that kind of cash, dude.
Exactly. They just hired Monty Austin Ford. Now, Monty Austin Ford does have a Parcells in background, so that may help. But you know, he and Sean Payton don't know each other, and Sean's going to want to bring in his own guys. And are you, if you're Monty Austin Ford, are you really bringing him in, hiring him so that he can snake you behind your back, right, fire you, and bring in Ryan Pace, the guy who traded up in competition with nobody, to grab Mitchell Trubisky over Pat Mahomes? Is that what you're going to do?
Right. Oh, man, that is brutal. Okay, so now let me turn it to the Dolphin Nation. They just interviewed Vic Fangio, and I'm saying that because of this whole Sean Payton mess, this actually becomes a better angle for the Dolphins to kind of land Vic Fangio. So where does Fangio, as you got to know him, obviously, you know, coaching in Denver there, what do you think he's thinking? What is going to make him happy? Is it going with Sean Payton, like some have said? Do you think Miami might be that kind of destination? Who is the real competition right now for Vic Fangio?
Well, I think he's got three main options and maybe a fourth, I'll say. The Philadelphia job, when John Gannon gets the Houston Texans head coaching job, and that's who we expect to get it. DeMeco Ryans is their other candidate, but I think DeMeco's going to Denver. So when John Gannon takes the Philly job, that leaves the Philly DC job open. Vic is already on staff there as a consultant. He could just step right in. San Francisco, he's always had an affinity for Kyle Shanahan. He went out and did some consulting with them during training camp. He knows that there's a stability there in terms of that, you know, that staff. He could go out and work for the 49ers. And then Raheem Morris, if he gets the Indianapolis job, Vic has always loved Sean McVay. And so, you know, he could potentially take that job. And then of course there's a Miami job. He's familiar with Mike McDaniel. We just talked about Kyle Shanahan. He's familiar with Mike McDaniel. Mike and him they got some pretty different personalities, but I love Mike McDaniel. I've known Mike McDaniel a long time, and I will say that I think that he could coexist there. I mean,
he won't get in his way. He won't get in his way. He'll delegate and let Fangio do his thing. He'll be the head coach of the defense.
And that's what Fangio wants. He wants a situation where he is basically the head coach of the defense. That's what his preferred kind of setup or situation is. So I think it's a good fit. I think it's a very real possibility. It's just a question of, again, these other jobs, the Philadelphia job, San Francisco job, and the LA job. I think those are the competition you have. Now, I will say this. He's living down there in Florida right now because of his mom, who's old and you know, she's in her 90s and all that kind of stuff. Vic is his home of base of operations down there in Florida now. However, his girlfriend's on the West Coast. And so that's kind of the competition you're dealing with that a little bit. She's like an eye surgeon out there and on the West Coast. So that's a little bit of the other competition that you're dealing with.
Where in the West Coast?
I believe she's Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and double check on it, but I think she's LA.
Okay. Well, working in San Francisco, you're not far, and you can, you know, the commute is.
He's living in Florida right now with his mother. So who's more important, mom or the girlfriend?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. If you tell me. You know Vic Fangio better than we do. But you know the way you're describing it, Ben. It almost sounds like Miami is not the first option there. It might be the third or fourth option.
It just depends. I would say that they're a good option. I'd say that they make the final list. The question is if they can sell the benefits of being there versus the benefits of being somewhere else. I mean, San Francisco's a pretty loaded defense. You know, the talent level that's there, you're close to your girlfriend, all that. You know, L.A., I don't even know if that job's coming open, but if it does, it's got its own unique set of advantages. Then Philadelphia, I mean, Philly is originally home for Vic. That's that part of the world he's from. And he's already got an intimate familiarity with the players there because he's been consulting there for a year. So, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages to each one. I think having no state tax out there in Florida, you know, I think that's got to be a good selling point too, though.
Why isn't anybody talking about Lovie Smith as a defensive coordinator? Because I got to tell you, if Miami doesn't get Vic Fangio, instead of some of the young guys that they're talking about, I would rather have Lovie Smith as my defensive coordinator. Why isn't he being talked about?
I think the main thing is he kind of showed a rigidity this year in trying to kind of run sort of an archaic defense. Lovie's one of those Tampa 2 guys, and while 2 deep man under is kind of taking over the league right now, middle of the field open, Vic Fangio, cover 4, cover 6 kind of stuff is taking over. I think that the main thing right now is getting Lovie off the Tampa 2 stuff and just making it sure that he's also, you know, kind of incorporating some of that other stuff. And I think that's part of it. You saw at Buffalo how that just kind kind of didn't work in the playoffs. That, you know, they're a cover two team, and you know, in the end, you can run on that, and it's tough. And if you can get Lovie to be a little bit more flexible, a little bit more two deep man under, a little bit more varied in his coverages, I think people would be all over it. But this year in Houston, he wasn't really willing to do that, for better or worse, and unfortunately, it cost him his job too.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Listen, the key to that cover two, I'm always told, is the middle linebacker. If you don't have a middle linebacker that can run like the wind in every single direction, that's how that defense doesn't work most of the time. So you've got to have the right linebackers. I don't believe Houston had the right linebackers to actually run that defense.
Yeah, they don't. Houston needs a whole overhaul, and Lovie was there as a stopgap kind of thing. So right. there's some give and take with that narrative. I mean, he got a bit railroaded on it, but at the same time, you go back and look at the tape, he was a little inflexible with what he ran, and he's going to have to vary it up if he's going to get one of these other jobs.
All right, so tell me a little bit about Fangio, and tell the Dolphin Nation why Fangio would be perfect. And by the way, he also has one of his guys here in Bradley Chubb.
He does. And Bradley Chubb's familiar with the scheme. He's familiar with Bradley. Vic's one of those guys that's going to get the most out of guys. They might not like him as a person for a while because he's very, very sparse on the compliments. I remember when he got the head coaching job and here in Denver, in his opening presser, somebody asked him about Von Miller. And he's like, yeah, Von's a player here. We'll see if we can make him a little better. You know, I mean, it's Von Miller. Like, that's your opening line. So, you know, I think Vic is stingy with compliments, but he makes guys earn it. I'll tell you this. Shelby Harris, who's now in Seattle, was a guy that when Vic got there, he hated him, absolutely hated him. And by the time Vic was gone and Shelby was headed to Seattle, he was like, well, you know, I hated him at first, but he was a guy who recognized the talent in me and got the most out of me. And Vic will do that. He will recognize them. You know, he will recognize you and get the most out of you. So if you're willing to be coached hard like that, he's the guy for you. Vic probably brings with him Ed Donatell as his right-hand man. Ed was the DC in Minnesota ill-fatedly this year. He may try to coax Bill Kolar out of retirement. Kolar is an excellent defensive line coach. So, you know, you'll have experience there and you'll play good. The one thing I would say about Vic's defense that it takes some getting used to is it is not aggressive at all. It's actually the opposite of that. Vic's defense tries to generate turnovers, but it's light in the box. It dares you to run and puts you in third and longs, and it's a bend, don't break. They're trying to turn you over. So when you need, it's a great defense. It'll put up great numbers, but if you absolutely need a stop at the end of a game, it's tough to get with that style of defense.
Okay. All right. If it doesn't happen with Fangio, Desai has been mentioned, Jerome Henderson, Ivero, Kurasek. I think there's another name that I might be missing here. But out of those young guys, Sean Desai, right? Did I mention him? And Chris Richard is the other guy. Out of all those guys, who would be the next selection that Ben Albright would say, that's a good pick for Miami?
It depends on what you want to run. You know, if you want to run middle field close, I'd say Chris Richard. If you want to run middle field open, I would be all over Rivero if you can get him. I think, you know, that's the thing. Sean Desai is is not a bad option. Chris Kusarek is an unproven commodity. He is excellent at training up defensive linemen, but he's kind of an unproven commodity as a defensive coordinator. So that would be the big question mark on him. I love him as a coach, and he's a great guy. But I don't know what he is as a defensive coordinator. I just know him as a defensive line coach. So, you know, Ivero, I think, would be the jewel, but you're only going to have him for a season. He's going to get head coaching stuff next year. So there's that. I think if you want the best long-term answer for the personnel you have is probably Desai. That's probably the guy you want to go with.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at AlbrightNFL. By the way, my brother, I feel like you feel like the crypto bull run's coming here.
It's buying season for me. I'm all over. I've been all over buying. I sent you the text for the one I'm buying right now. You don't have to. You can kind of sprinkle that out to the listeners if you want to. But I just bought a huge bag of that particular coin. So yeah, I'm back on the crypto train, and it's buying season for me.
Anything else you're buying besides that?
That's the main one. I bought 2 million. I bought 2 million of those yesterday. So.
Okay. All right. Good stuff there. Follow him on Twitter at AlbrightNFL. Ben, as always, man, I appreciate you. Are you going to be next week in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I'll be down in Mobile.
You got it. I'll be there. I'll see you there,
brother. I'll be there, brother.
We'll all right, man. Be good. You got it. We'll get a beer. There you go. Ben Albright. Good stuff as always. Ben, by the way, he's an amp guy. So he bought a bunch of amp, and he's hoping that amp can climb. That'll be pretty good, dude. Let's see, what else do we have here? Okay, I got some other texts from folks out there. Good stuff by Ben Albright. And since, obviously, he covered Fangio, I wanted to get his thoughts on Fangio for you guys out there. When Mike was hired, we brought him on also to talk a little bit about that. So I'm looking forward to going back up to the Senior Bowl, man. I haven't been there in a couple of years, and get to see some folks out there. And by the way, Bitcoin holding strong over 23,000 right now still. Remember, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show at Cash App or Venmo if you want to make a donation, as always. Did I miss any super chats? Yes, Frankie Fresco. They did not say anything to Milo fans that did fireworks in the stands, and they did not kick the Milo fans out. I thought they kicked them out and everybody walked out in protest. That's what the story is. Oh, not the Inter Miami. Oh, okay. Okay. Also, interstates, no smoke bombs in the stadium, but yet they allow the Familia. Well, it's not that they allow, it's that they get away with it. Okay? And then they light up that smoke bomb, and then they don't know who lit it up. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, you know, shady. You know? Anyway, O'Shea Morris says, so what, the Jets are ready to win now? If you could get a QB that takes you over and you get to the Super Bowl, who cares about two first-round picks? You get another QB later, but at least you got a Super Bowl. Well, that's if you can get a Super Bowl. That only matters if you actually get the Super Bowl, okay? Doesn't mean you're going to get the Super Bowl, but, you know, whatever. Let's see. Soundgarden, Godsmack. All right. What else do we have here? Wow, there's a lot of... There's like a ton of music crap talking here. Yeah, man. Let's see. Big O, watch the first hit on Tua by Bosa a few plays after his TD. After coming back from the concussion protocol, extremely likely he was concussed the rest of the game and carry over to the Chargers. I don't know, bro. I'm moving on, bro. I'm moving on to the next season. I'm not going to start. What does that do any good for me? What does it do? What? You know what I mean? I'm moving on, bro. You know? We'll see what happens next year. Tom Petty is a legend, okay? Tua not fully healed during San Fran game. Oh, well. The problem is Inter wants to treat the fans like South American stadium fans, so although I agree the people who brought the fireworks should get punished, but I am also blaming Inter Miami as well. Well, I mean, you're going to blame Inter Miami for people that do illegal things. I mean, you're not going to catch everybody, bro. People are going to do illegal things. And, you know, you can't blame people all the time because they did not catch it. You know, I find that unfair, to be quite honest. All right, what do we have? You know that there's a petition circulating now in Indianapolis not to hire Jeff Saturday as the head coach. Yeah, you read it. You were reading it about that.
Well, no, I was reading about this is a, you know, of course, before everything happened. But he said sources: Jim Irsay's number one choice for head coach remains Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
While others in the front office prefer different leading candidates, Saturday, I'm told, presented his staff choices during the second interview on Wednesday. Irsay has not sat in on most of the interviews.
Yep. So now an online petition attempting to keep Jeff Saturday from becoming the next head coach is out there. It was launched on Wednesday afternoon. It already has 1,600 signatures. Nate Atkins of the Indianapolis Star reported on the petition Wednesday night. A document was created by a Colts fan named Sean Ward. In the message it addressed to the owner, Jim Irsay, the organizer wrote, "We as Colts fans always love the memories of the Super Bowl team. We love the former players and the people they've become, but we don't want Jeff Saturday as the head coach of this team going forward. Please hire someone with experience and save your fan base from revolting and losing interest. The petition was launched through change.org and is titled Don't Hire Jeff Saturday as Head Coach. Now, I click that link and I go to it, and so far they have, I think it's 2,500 signings right now. So if you want to, there you go. You got 2,774 people have signed the petition now.
I'm an idiot.
What?
No, Frank Wright was there before. I was thinking.
Yes.
I was like, oh, well, Jeff Saturday's not going to get the job because Frank Wright was hired. I'm thinking it was the Panthers. I missed.
Yeah.
I totally forgot. So there's still a chance Jeff Saturday's.
Yes. Yes. That's why I talked about this petition, because I thought it was funny as hell that the fans are already creating a petition because they don't want Jeff Saturday, which, by the way, makes all the sense in the world.
Yes. No Saturday on Sunday.
You know, come on, man.
I'll help him with some marketing if they need it.
He looks like a nice guy. He does a good job on television, by the way. Very good job. So, but if you want to go sign the petition, you can do that also, just for the hell of it, even if you're not a Colts fan. That would be kind of funny that you just go sign the petition even though you're not a Colts fan. That is awesome.
And also, Frankie made sure to, because he's upset with you right now.
Who's why? Was
Ruby
he?
Soho won yesterday, by the way.
Right. My predictions yesterday, Ruby Soho beat Tony Storm, and Briscoe did defeat Lethal.
Yes.
Okay, so I got one out of two.
Yeah. And they they did the whole Tony Storm thing the other way around.
Why? What happened?
Because,
what do you mean?
Who was it? Well, Britt Baker came out on the stage, distracted Tony Storm, which Ruby Soho got the win.
So they were cheating there. So they were cheating.
They cheated the cheater.
They cheated me out of it. That's what's that called? That thing that this dude does on ESPN, the bad breaks, what's that called? You know, like when there's a backdoor cover and it's like
bad beats.
Bad beats. That's a bad beat right there.
Yeah, bad beat.
I had it and then distracted and cheated.
And by the way,
that's wrong, Frankie.
I watched Power Slap.
I was cheated. Huh?
I watched Power Slap after the AEW show.
Who won? Dana or his wife?
No. They didn't show that one. That was the dark match. They didn't show that on TV.
I thought Dana and his wife were going to be the main event.
No. Not yet. Maybe at the end of the season.
Oh, really. Okay. All right.
Last night was the one where they were trying to get to the house. They're the last of the consolation rounds. It's pretty interesting, to say the least.
Really?
You can't lift your foot up. Like, if you rotate your foot at all, it's a foul.
So you got to be flat-footed to slap.
Flat-footed and slap and rotate through. There's three rounds. And then three people got disqualified because they moved their foot and knocked the guy out. So the guy that got knocked out ended up winning by disqualification. But in Vegas, they can't go to the house because they're suspended.
Wow.
By the thing. So then, you know, it's interesting just because it's like, there's two UFC guys that are actually in there. Stipe, I don't know if you watch any of.
I watch UFC. I can't tell you I know Stipe. Them all.
He has a great chin, but it's like, it's not really the chin. Like, when they slap you, they're hitting right in the, like, there's an area. Like, one guy hit in the ear and he got fouled for it because he went too high.
Right.
You have to hit in a certain area. Like, there's little rules in there that you see it, but man, I just don't know. If stand there and let some dude just slap.
No,
you.
I can't do that. Yeah, no, I can't.
Just turn around. Like, one dude, they tell you, you can only do three, the warm-ups. So they have to tell you, right hand three.
Right.
So on three, they're going to slap you so you know when it's coming. One guy was like, one. All he did was, bah, knocked the dude straight out, man. It's one of those things where, like,
that,
I'll never probably watch it again, but it was like, at least there's some kind of, like, rules to it. I just thought it was just get up there, slap, slap, slap until somebody goes down. I was like,
D Wolverine 305, a little love in the super chat. Thank you, sir. As I said the other day, stop whining. Tua isn't going anywhere. So face your pouting face against the wall and cry. Yeah. What's up, Big O? Thank you, D Wolverine. I appreciate you, my man. Thank you. Very nice of you. All right. I think we're caught up to all the super chats there. Let's see. And remember, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big. And you can always make a Bitcoin donation. You know, I love me some Bitcoin donation. That's my favorite donation on Le Planet. Power slap is good. Dana won. Well, Dana cheated. He got two slaps in to the wife's one. So that's just not fair. She's got to get that second slap in.
And I will say this. They're putting technology behind the slap. They went into it. They showed it yesterday. They're actually measuring each contestant's neck, their head, the power of the slaps that they generate so they can make up, so they can try to figure out who the perfect power slapper would be.
That's funny. That's funny. So, have you seen Gisele Bündchen lately? Well, as you all know, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are no longer together. And Tom chose football over his family, clearly. And, you know, these Latin women, brother, you know, if you're married to one, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so I think she had all the right, to be quite honest. I think Tom Brady's an idiot. He had nothing to prove, no reason to come back for that third year in Tampa, especially after the second year he didn't win it. Bro, walk out already. It's over. And now you had a disastrous season, and now it looks like you're getting old before everybody's eyes. And now here's Gisele Bündchen, and she is horseback riding with her trainer. Ha! So let me ask you something. Why do you need a trainer while you're horseback riding? You don't. Now, listen, if you're a famous person like Gisele or anybody else, you want to have security people around you, I don't blame you. If you're filthy rich like she is, I would have a bodyguard all the time with me. She makes so much money that she easily could afford a bodyguard for many years to come until she's, you know, at a point that you don't need a bodyguard anymore. But overall, okay, bodyguard, but this is not her bodyguard. This is her trainer. What other picture you got? You got another picture involved in there. That's an ad, damn it. So there we go. And so now they've caught these two horseback riding. Oh, yeah, the kids are there too? Yeah. Yeah, it's her jiu-jitsu instructor. So you know they're having fun on the mat. Okay. Gisele, moving on. You knew she was going to be moving on every day now. Any Triumph fans out there? It's actually a good song. That one, actually, the drummer sings, too. By the way, Rick Wakeman, for you music folks out there, Yes's Hall of Fame keyboardist. Rick Wakeman is having a solo tour, and he will be at the Amaturo Theater in Fort Lauderdale March 17th. For my friends in Clearwater, he'll be at the Capitol Theater, one of my favorite little theaters to watch a concert in all of the country in Clearwater. Really nice little theater on March 25th. Also, what else do we have? Young the Giant is coming to town. I'll be taking my wife to Young the Giant. She loves Young the Giant. So do I. I think they're fantastic. July 22nd, they will be at the amphitheater in Miami. It's called the FPL Solar Amphitheater now. That's the new name since it got a sponsor. But Bayfront. What we know is Bayfront. The last two times I've seen Young the Giant have been at Bayfront. Both times. And Milky Chance will be opening up for Young the Giant. July 21st, they're in Tampa in the Yuengling Center. And July 20th, they're in St. Augustine at the St. Augustine Amphitheater. Tesla is coming to town, not to South Florida. They are going to Orlando. I will be there May 6th at the House of Blues in Orlando. I'm a Tesla. I'm a major, major, Tesla fan. So I will definitely be there. I like Tesla big time. What else do we have here in the world of music? Yes has sold their catalog too. Yes has sold their recorded music rights and income streams from their Atlantic Record era catalog to Warner Brothers Group Global Catalog. With more than 30 million albums sold worldwide, the acquisition continues a long-standing relationship between the band and Warner Music, now that spans over half a century, beginning with Yes's self-entitled album 1969 Atlantic debut. The deal, which encompasses the landmark work such as 1971's Fragile, 72's Close to the Edge, 83's 90215, and it includes 12 studio albums as well as live recordings and compilations. What we don't know is how much money did they get for selling their music. That's what we don't know, unfortunately. Crazy stuff. And today in music history, on January 26th, in 68, Pink Floyd played their first gig without Syd Barrett. It took place in Southampton University, where the band was supported by a group called Tyrannosaurus Rex, which later became T-Rex, the overrated band that did not deserve to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but hey, what the hell. 1970, on this date, John Lennon wrote, recorded, and mixed the songs Instant Karma. Instant Karma's gonna get you. It ranks as one of the fastest released songs in pop music history, arriving in stores just 10 days after Lennon laid the track down at Abbey Road Studios. That's pretty fast for those days. In 74, Ringo Starr had the number one song in the U.S. with this cover of You're 16. Can't believe that was number one. In 65, Petula Clark's Downtown, listen to this, was the number one song in America. All right, if you've never heard that song from Petula Clark, Downtown, us older people, we know that song. For you young people, you can go check it out. But here's a nugget that most of us did not know, including yours truly. Jimmy Page played a session guitarist on the track. It was his first U.S. number one. How about that? Jimmy Page as a session musician, all right, before he does Led Zeppelin and becomes one of the greatest guitarists of all time, one of the greatest songwriters of all time and all that, because when you talk about the music that that man wrote with that guitar, it is absolutely sick. And in 74 on this date, the Doobie Brothers opened their first European tour in London. In 86 on this date, Leonard Skinner guitarist Alan Collins, who survived the 77 plane crash that killed two band members, was in a car accident that paralyzed him from the waist down and killed his girlfriend. I don't know if there's a band in the history of music that had more bad luck than Leonard Skinner. God, those people had bad luck. In 2000, members of Rage Against the Machine tried to force their way into the New York Stock Exchange. It was part of a video shoot for the song Sleep Now in the Fire that the radical band was doing on Wall Street and filmmaker Michael Moore. So that is what happened today in music history. There you go. Eagles over Niners. Eagles by 2.5. Niners 46.5. And the Bengals and the Chiefs now are by 1. Over and under is 47.5, and it kind of changed after they saw Mahomes walking around. It's funny.
He did a spin move today.
He did?
Yeah.
The spin move that Joe Burrow did in the playoff game practicing. That was just badass.
Yeah. No, nothing like that, though.
I know, but that was just badass. Yeah. Snow, everything. And it's you're barely looking, and you just spin. You do this pirouette, and then you just fling the ball, and it goes directly down the sidelines right to the receiver. And it's like a 40, 50-yard strike, dude. Like, that is just, you know. He is Joe Cool, dude. He is like what we used to do with Montana, the same thing, dude. He is totally Joe Cool. My God. Impressive, I gotta say. I gotta give him major props. Wow.
Did you see the story coming out of Patriot Land?
No, which one?
On the dysfunction.
Oh, with Joe Judge?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Andrew Callahan and Karen Gurgajin. Gurgajin of the Boston Herald on Thursday published a behind-the-scenes look at what sources in and around the organization described as the most dysfunctional Patriots season ever seen under Belichick. The story touches on the relationship between Jones and quarterback Joe Judge, while tensions between Jones and Patricia, the team's primary offensive play caller, received most of the attention. It sounds like there was a similar dynamic with Judge and Jones. Jones and Judge reportedly had profanity-laced outbursts towards one another during practices. The blow-ups were not uncommon, according to the Herald. One source said Jones did not like Judge at all. Other sources told the Herald that a lot of people within the organization were frustrated with Judge. Judge would speak loudly in meetings, trying to project like he was the guy. One person familiar with the situation, I think that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. Belichick apparently did not always have his assistants' backs either. There were reportedly times when the head coach blasted Judge during practice as well. Judge was a special teams assistant with the Patriots from 2012 to 19. Belichick added wide receivers coach Judge to his duties in 19, which was the season before Judge was hired as head coach of the Giants. He went 10-23 in two seasons with the Giants and was fired, so Belichick decided to bring him back last offseason. That did not pay off. Jones was seen yelling at coaches on multiple occasions during games. Most of his frustration was directed towards Patricia, but that was clearly just one piece of a larger issue. The Patriots made a big move this week. They brought back Bill O'Brien back as offensive coordinator. That was a good move for them to bring back Bill O'Brien, that's for sure. Still don't think they have the quarterback when it's all said and done. But I got to tell you something. I love to hear about this dysfunction there. I wanted to end as badly, as good as it was. That's how bad I want it to be. I want it to be a Super Bowl caliber failure for the Patriots. I want to see Belichick just walk out of there frustrated and not being able to figure anything out. And then that all we have to say is, well, you don't have Brady anymore, bro. You know, things have changed. That kind of stuff.
You know, Mac Jones had that in him to start, you know, back at somebody there?
Well, you get to a point where you say, you know, my ass is on the line here, and you're setting me up to fail. And so I think that that's what's going on at times, that they're, you know, the quarterback's, like, frustrated, you know?
Yeah, because all he's hearing is how bad he's doing.
Right. Exactly. He gets all the heat because that's all we do to quarterbacks. Yeah. We give them all the praise, mm-hmm. and we give them all the criticism.
The co-offensive coordinator thing just never works.
I know.
As you said, if you have two, you have none.
You have none. You're done. You're done. No doubt. By the way, something really cool on the music side. Her, the artist, H-E-R, she has a signature Fender guitar now. And the I Can't Breathe hitmaker just launched her own Fender Blue Marlin Stratocaster, which is named after one of her favorite fish. And she admitted she barely thought it was possible to play the instrument herself as a black woman. Her real name is Gabrielle Wilson. She's really talented, by the way. I think a lot of women, especially young black women, young Filipino women, don't really think that these kind of things are possible, and I barely thought it was possible. So it's insane to know that I've done it. It's inspiring so many women to want to play instruments and want to pick up a guitar, and I know they can. The guitar is called the Blue Marlin because I grew up going fishing with my dad a lot, and I just think it's one of the coolest looking fish. She is the first black female artist in Fender's 77-year history to launch a signature guitar. The Grammy-winning artist was just 7 when she first started playing guitar, inspired by her musician, father Kenny Wilson, and him playing Prince and Lenny Kravitz records. She recalled in an interview with Reuters, "I was 6 years old when I started playing piano, and then I picked up the guitar not long after when I was 7, and Kenny taught me how to play the blues. I started performing when I was like 6 years old. My first time being on stage was with my dad and his band, and I remember my mom at one point kept booking like gigs for me, like there were festivals and things around my neighborhood." That is so cool for her. That is awesome.
They're on sale, by the way, right now for 1,200 pounds. I don't know what that converts to in U.S. dollars, but it says 1,200 in pounds there if you're interested in it. That's pretty cool. Ken Helm. Oh, I haven't seen much of Ken. You know, it's like he was like big for our Canes games. Ken Helm was always there. Big O, have you and Sean ever thought about bringing on former Dolphin players to chat about glory days, what they're doing now? Yes, actually, we will be doing that now this offseason. That's one of the things that Sean and I talked about when we went through last offseason. I said we're going to bring on some more former Dolphins and things like that. Once we're done with the Super Bowl and we kind of get really heavy into the offseason, then we're going to do a lot of that. And we'll bring on some former players and coaches and things like that. We are going to do more of that, my friend. So you were reading our minds from last year that we talked about, okay, this offseason, we got to do this instead. So, yes, we are going to change our ways in that sense and add that. By the way, Panthers are off tonight. They take on the Kings on Friday at FLA Live Arena. They got the 10th spot right now in the playoffs at 52 points. The good thing is Washington's in the A spot at 56, so it's not like they're, you know, completely out of it, but they got to wake up. They better wake up, man. If they don't wake up. So Joe Philbin was fired today. The Cowboys fired Joe Philbin, the O-line coach, George Edwards, another former Dolphin coach, the defensive assistant, running backs coach Skip Pete, assistant D-line coach Leon Lett, assistant Rob Davis, and offensive assistant Kyle Valero, all fired. Joe Philbin fired? What a shocker that is. Can't believe that Joe Philbin was fired. My God. How will that team recover? Why should the Cowboys even continue as a franchise after firing Joe Philbin? Do want to remind you, tomorrow we're back at 10 a.m. live from Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. Our final broadcast of the month. It is the 27th. Always great deals on the weekends, man. You got to go out there and take advantage. But anyway, we'll be out there tomorrow morning at 15601 Pines Boulevard, just off of I-75 and Pine. So come on by if you want to say hi. Remember, the Crypto Bro Show will air Saturday at 1 o'clock. So we are going to, you know, start the crypto show. I don't know how many times a week or a month or whatever I'm going to do. It's going to be kind of fly by night right now. But it'll be all crypto. So do not bother on the chat board to, you know, start getting into football questions or basketball or baseball or any kind of questions. It's going to be a crypto show. Okay, so we're going to be talking crypto the entire time. All right, so if you want to learn a little bit about crypto, maybe learn about different crypto companies, learn about blockchain technology, all of these kind of things, DeFi platforms, all the kind of things, Web3, the stuff that is going to engulf your world over the next 10 to 15 years, and you'll be swimming in all of it because you will have to live it, you'll have to pay your bills, you'll have to go find your movie tickets and concert tickets and all of that. It's coming, and you're going to do all of that on the blockchain. So we will talk about all of those kind of things, and we will have guests and all kinds of stuff on the crypto show. So Saturday at 1 o'clock. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you have the notification bell. Hit the notification bell because that is always important. That will give you the heads up that we are on, okay? All right, we are out of here. We thank Sean Stanley, as always. We thank Benjamin Albright. We thank Marcel-Louis Jacques, as always. And we thank every one of you for tuning in. If you sent in a super chat, if you... made a donation through Cash App or Venmo. We appreciate it. We thank, of course, the Brunetti family for being big sponsors of our program. We love Frank Fiore and Steve Calabro. I don't know what happened to Steve Calabro. I thought he was going to be back. Yeah, he said he was going to be back at 5:30, and no dice. He's gone. History in the archives. All right. Well, maybe we can get him on tomorrow so he can give us some wise guy picks. That's what I was hoping for, some wise guy picks, man. You know, plus maybe, you know what, some tickets for the boxing match on February 24th. We got to start doing that. Hopefully, we'll start getting some of the boxers and the trainers, too. So come on out here to Hialeah Park, man. Second floor poker room is beautiful. They can serve you food and drinks. You got TVs all over the place. You can wager on tracks all over the country. We've got the Champions Club also, where you can make your wagers downstairs. Gaming all over, like 900 machines. Smoke-free casino, too, so you won't have somebody blowing smoke in your face. They actually have the smoking hot slots outside. With ventilation, all kinds of fans. It's actually cooled down, but if you want to smoke your cigar, your cigarette, or that other stuff, you can do that over there. I didn't tell you about the other stuff, but, you know, people are smoking it all over the place anyway, so what can I tell you? So if you want to vape out there while you're doing it, I don't think anybody's going to say anything. They won't even figure it out. So enjoy yourselves out here at Hialeah Park. Great food, great fun, great entertainment. We appreciate all of you out there. We'll see you tomorrow morning live from Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines at 10 a.m. As always, 10 a.m. Eastern. Catch us. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, same bat channel. Have a great one.